Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We will start our message today with Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" What we're looking at this week is the response of the leaders in the religious community in the first century of Israel and their conclusion on who this man Jesus is. We've already touched on these points and we'll sum it up again this morning. Number one, he is a false Messiah. Spiritual people don't believe him. Number two, look at his character. Listen to the way he talks. He is intolerant and he is not kind. Number three, he is a sinner and has complete disregard for our traditions. Number four, he is guilty of blasphemy. Number five, he is mad and possessed of a devil. Number six, he is a man that is known by the company he keeps, and he keeps company with harlots and sinners. Number seven, he is a deceiver from Nazareth. Number eight, his doctrine is corrupt. Picking back up with that thought today, we must remember this. These accusations are coming from men that the multitudes have trusted for spiritual guidance up until this point in time. The ninth point that we'll touch on is he was accused of being a divider of the people, a leader of a cult, and a troublemaker. The Pharisees believed that the Messiah will bring peace and unity, yet this man Jesus would bring division. The scripture in John chapter 7 and verse 43 says this, "So there was a division among the people because of him." When we go to Matthew, I don't even know what chapter it is. It's verse 34. It says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." See, instead of bringing peace, he separates families. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, we read this about him. "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This man Jesus is intolerant of any other religious belief other than his own. The tenth claim, Jesus believes that he is the very fulfillment of prophecy. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 21, "And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." The response when he talks like this, when you look at verse 28, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath." The people in the synagogue are religious people. They are people that have studied the Torah, and they became extremely offended by Jesus's declaration that he was the very fulfillment of Scripture in their day and hour. Many times the Pharisees would ask him, "Show me a sign." Sure, they had heard he had done miracles, but many of them would testify they had not personally witnessed the miracle themselves. Also remember this, Jesus wasn't the first one to make a claim to be the Messiah. When we go to the book of Acts chapter 5, and we can begin with verse 36, it says this, "For behold, these days rose up Judas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered, and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. So we see that the religious leaders in that day, this isn't the first time they've been challenged with a person coming to claim to be the Messiah. What they have witnessed in the ministry of Jesus Christ is many of his disciples have walked away from him. Even Judas himself, one of the chosen 12, had come to them because he no longer believed Jesus' claims. To them, it seemed like the ministry of Jesus was falling apart right before their eyes. Even when his closest or one of his closest disciples, this man Peter, that Jesus had said, "I give you the keys to the kingdom," when Peter was pressed on whether or not he was a disciple of Jesus, he denied him with cursing, saying that he didn't even know who this man was. Number 11, to take a look at the fruit of the ministry of Jesus Christ, to look at his disciples, the one that have believed his message, because we realize that a good tree can't bring forth corrupt fruit. In the book of Acts, chapter 10 and verse 25, we read this. "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him." His ministry has touched Gentiles, but to the religious leaders of that day, Gentiles were no more than dogs. The idea that a man would fall down to worship another man is a sign of idolatry, not what they would consider the fulfillment of their prophecies. We also look, as we would continue on, if we would look down through time, Catholicism would spring up from the teachings of Jesus Christ. And this idea that Jesus could be the Messiah, no doubt today the Jews would look at this and look at his followers and what it has produced and said that's truly not what we believe that the Messiah would produce in this world. The 12th point, Jesus Christ, they believe to be a false prophet. Not only did he claim to be things that they could not see in the scriptures, we can read in the book of Luke in chapter 7 and verse 39. "Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake with him himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who or what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." We got to realize this. The religious leaders describes the Pharisees. They watched him diligently. They studied his teachings. They studied his actions. They watched his disciples. And in reality, their goal was to find fault in him, to come to the conclusion, to find enough evidence that they could deny that he was the Messiah for their day and hour. When they look at his prophecies, John chapter 8, verse 51 says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death." We can understand what they're looking at. People have died. Abraham was the father of faith, and he has died. And Jesus says, if a man would keep his sayings, they would never see death. What we understand is it was not that what Jesus said was wrong. It is that they did not understand what he was talking about. They would ask this question, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead." And then the question, "Who makest thou thyself? Who do you claim to be? Do you claim to be greater than these men that we have esteemed throughout history?" Another time, Jesus would say, if the temple was destroyed, he would raise it up. And to their observation, that has never taken place. So how can they trust what he's going to say? Another time, he asked them about Apostle John. And the saying that went forth after Jesus asked Peter, "What is that to you if he would abide till I come?" Even amongst the Jewish people, the Christian, the ones that had followed Christianity, they had the idea that John would never die. And and if they believed that, what would the critics believe? That this too is a false prophecy when John would die. Also, Jesus would make the statement that some of his disciples would live until he set up his kingdom. As we move out of the first century into the second century, no doubt many of the critics say that never took place. When we first started this message, I talked about a letter I got from a young man that used to come to our church, and he had come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ was not the Messiah. I believe this. When he came to our church, he was taught well, but as he gave himself over to a different kind of spirit and started to look at the scripture, no doubt that spirit led him in an opposite direction. This is something else he said about the prophecies of Jesus the Christ, the prophecies that Jesus would speak. The first thing that comes to mind is how Jesus made prophecies which did not get fulfilled. For example, he said, "There are some living here today which shall not taste death until they see me returning in my glory." The Old Testament says that every single prophecy must come true for a person to be a true prophet. So I find it literally, I could not believe the New Testament. If I had to stand before Jesus on Judgment Day, I would tell him I could not believe him because the prophecy had not been fulfilled. But if I stood before the God of the Old Testament, I have no good reason for believing Jesus. When I saw that conclusion, I thought about the website Believe the Sign that started to talk about when they first came out. It was a vindication of who William Branham was, and then it became an attack upon who he is. When this man, this young man, looks at Jesus Christ and he looks at the statement he made that there would be some that would not taste death, the problem wasn't in what Jesus said. The problem was in his understanding or lack of understanding of what Jesus had said. The conclusion of the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders at the time of Christ is this. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." For Jesus to be the Messiah, to be who he claims to be, that we can put confidence in his word, he speaks of a resurrection, and so do his followers. It's actually written in his followers' writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 13, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." It's worthless. "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God." When we look at Matthew chapter 28, in verse 13, it says this. This is what the report was. "His disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept." Verse 15 tells us this, "And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." So if you look at a young person listening to the report and being told that if Jesus is who he said he was, that he would have to rise from the dead, and then they hear this report that Jesus was crucified, he never rose from the dead, and actually his disciples came and stole his body to try to produce this narrative that he rose from the dead. And if you go around society at that time, there would be many people would tell you that story. So the conclusion that they came up with, based on their evidence, is Jesus Christ is a false Messiah. And according to his disciples' own testimony, they are false witnesses because he never rose from the dead. Now, we don't believe these things, but I've said these things because maybe instead of titling this a seed, all along I should have titled it The Abundance of Voices. Because a person that's looking for the Messiah in the first century in Israel, they would have heard all these accusations about this man, Jesus. And really, to believe this, they would have had to stand against the religious leaders of their day. We was in service tonight. Actually, it's still evening here. I get on in the evening, so it'll be in the morning where many of you are at. Brother Michael sang a song, and the song is called The Man That I Saw. I want to play that song. It's off of YouTube, and I'll just play it on here, because their conclusion is the man they saw was a false prophet, that he did not fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. But I look at these prophecies, and I see them wondrously fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Where they saw a false prophet, I see the Son of the living God. So God bless you. I pray you have a good day. And I will just play this song if you would like to stay on and listen before we close. May God bless you abundantly.
The man that I saw was gentle.
If only they had seen. May God bless you and give you a good day. Love in Christ Jesus.